We do not have a quorum, but we need to get started because there's another committee coming in here shortly. And all the important members of the committee are here, so. And today we're going to hear from Department of Human Services and in particular George Hoffman on the change in the February forecast. Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. George Hoffman, Department of Human Services. We, as many of you know, forecast expenditures and caseloads in our entitlement programs, and most of the money is in the medical programs. And I'm going to talk about the change in our forecast. We've provided you with a one-page summary of the highlights of those changes. You may also have, we also produce a more extensive document explaining in detail the forecast changes. That's available on the department's website, or if it's not there yet, it'll be there in a day or so. Our forecast change in the general fund in the current biennium is a decrease of $137 million. That's in fact most of the movement of the state forecast. The state forecast, or the deficit in the state forecast, is down 200 and some million, and our decrease of 137 is the largest part of that. And the largest part of the decrease of 137 is almost $83 million, which is the result of a change in federal policy. Ever since the implementation of Medicare Part D pharmacy coverage, It was a part of that federal legislation that the state Medicaid programs would pay back to the federal government on a monthly basis most of the money that they saved in their Medicaid programs because of the implementation of Medicare Part D pharmacy coverage. Almost all of the elderly enrollees in the medical assistance program are also on Medicare, and about half of the disabled enrollees in the medical assistance program are on Medicare. And so each month we get a bill from the federal government for about $130 a head for the roughly 100,000 people who are on our program and also on Medicare and also enrolled in a Part D pharmacy program. And that currently that's about $14 million for a month that we are paying back to the federal government. It's intended to take back most of the state share of the savings for our program not having to pay for that pharmacy coverage anymore, like we did prior to the implementation of the Medicare Part D pharmacy coverage. And it's the state share, it's an estimate of the state share savings, and the federal agency, we have normally a 50% federal matching rate for the medical care in the medical assistance program. The federal government, as part of the stimulus package, gave us an enhanced rate, which for the period starting October 08 and ending December of 2010 gives us a rate of about a federal share of about 61.5% instead of the regular federal share of 50%. Now, that states argued for some time that, okay, now we've got a smaller state share, we ought to pay you less for the state share of the pharmacy savings. And the federal government held out against that for some time, but has finally agreed that the states are entitled to pay less in the clawback, it's called, for the Part D pharmacy coverage. And they are going to retroactively adjust the amounts we were billed. And over the period of the federal stimulus, the value of the change they've made is about $83 million. And so that $83 million is less that we'll have to spend out of the medical assistance account to pay the federal government the clawback for Medicare Part D. And that's more than half of the forecast change that we're making in February.
And Mr. Hoffman, if they extend the stimulus for another 6 months, and that's a value to the state of about $410 million. Does that $410 include this if they continue that also?
That $410 does not include the additional value. The $83 million that we've changed in the forecast has to do with the stimulus only through the end of December of 2010. If the stimulus is extended 6 months, it's going to add about $21 million to that $83 million figure, and the $21 million is not included in the $410 million figure that you're quoting. So it will, and we're going to, as you all know, the governor has booked the savings of this hoped for extension of the stimulus in his budget, and we're going to keep the calculation of that separate from all the rest of the budget items. So we're in the middle of doing a new estimate of what the six-month extension of the stimulus is worth, and we'll add the clawback value to it, and then we'll offset it for the difference that would make in the savings in all of the relevant items in the governor's budget. And so we will have to track the same thing in fiscal notes so that in the event we get confirmation, we're going to have the six-month extension, we have the values at hand to adjust all the values in the tracking. So the basic plan is to keep it entirely separate and to keep it a single item in the governor's budget, but with all the detail backing it up.
Thank you.
Other changes in the forecast. Basically, not much change in the forecast outside of the $80 million, and evidently not much change in the revenue forecast either. And so that's good in that things are looking stable, but not showing more improvement than already anticipated in the previous forecast. So other important changes, which are part of this forecast, is the MA nursing facility caseload is about 2 to 3% lower. That accounts for a reduction of $27 million in the current biennium. The the forecasted cost of MA disabled basic care is about 1.25% lower. That's almost $1 billion program in total dollars. So that makes a difference. We're not changing the GAMC forecast. We're still holding in the forecast expenditure of the remaining 2010 appropriation. So that there is no change there. And the CD fund, we had a larger decrease in the November forecast. This is an additional decrease, and we're reducing the forecast of the number of placements and the average cost of placements by about 3% each.
I could just interrupt you for a minute.
Yes.
We now have a quorum, so I'll call the meeting to order. And Representative, anybody want to move the minutes from February 23, 24, 25, and March 2nd?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
We all want to.
So
we all want to.
So the minutes have been moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So the 1, 2, 3, 4 days minutes are approved. Please continue, Mr. Hoffman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. MFIP forecast just a little bit lower. Our caseload forecast is holding up here, as is our caseload forecast in medical assistance for children and parents in medical assistance. We had done a big increase in that forecast in the fall of 08 because of the recession. We increased that enrollment forecast 15% at that time, and it's proving that we got it fairly close. We increased it another 2% in the November forecast in November of 09. And we've added a little bit more to that enrollment forecast, between 1% and 2%, but basic and that change is offset by a little bit lower average cost of coverage in that program, and so there isn't much change in that area, and it's of some significance because that's the economically sensitive part of the medical assistance program. We expected and we got a lot more enrollment because of the state of the economy and the recession coming on, and the forecast that we did of that has been holding up tolerably well. MFIP, a little bit lower caseload, the effect of that showing up mainly in the 12 and 13 biennium. The child care forecast is down a little bit in the current biennium, up by a similar amount in the next biennium. That's in this biennium a little bit lower average cost. Small change in general assistance, larger change in the group residential housing program, where both the caseload forecast and the average cost forecast are up about 2% each. In MSA, most of the increase in the current biennium comes from adding back to the forecast the cost of MSA special diets, which the governor had unallotted, and in an interim agreement with the plaintiffs, the benefit has been restored pending final settlement of the case. And that only affected the current biennium because that was where the effect of the unallotment was. that adds up to, those changes add up to the total forecast change in the general fund. I'll go on to Minnesota Care, where we have a little bit higher forecast of enrollment of children and parents, up 3 to 4% in the current biennium, 7 to 8% in the next biennium. This seems to be an effect of the economy, people staying in the program longer. On the adults without kids part of the program, we have some decreases, mostly because the rates, the new capitation rates effective in January, proved to be lower than we had expected them to be. So we adjust the forecast downwards accordingly. That's the brief version of the forecast changes, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Mr. Hoffman, what you're telling us is that you did a really great job in November.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't claim to have done a great job until the biennium is over.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Representative Abler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Hoffman. Welcome back to the Minnesota Care, part of the Healthcare Access Fund part. And I've not read the forecast. I have the November 09 forecast copy that we've used, but I've not looked at the new forecast and the Healthcare Access Fund, but I'm sure a lot of the questions are similar. And I don't know that this is the day to do all that, but I think it would be productive for us. One thing I'll set up my question. The net expense on the Healthcare Access Fund goes from $407 million in 2009 to $820 million in 2013, which is about double. And talking to some staff in the hallways, some of that is legislative change, some of it's enrollment growth. And I think it would be productive for our committee, Mr. Chair, that if we could look at what things we've done legislatively, what things are enrollment, as we look at trying to find a way to contain this. I don't think that in November forecast, we were short $250 million by the end of 2013, which is just not tenable. And the governor had one way to address that, and I'm not sure that plan would pass this committee. It'd be a good guess. I'm not sure if I'd vote for that one. But we have to find some way to dissect this, I think, and bring this under control. And so it would be helpful, I think, if we had the detail of that $820 million or whatever it is now, what the differences were along the way that got us to that number. Maybe it's a disaggregated piece of that, and the base load enrollment and some additional, because we added some people in, I know, along the way. Is that something we could obtain?
Mr. Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abler, we can give you that. The main issue, this came out in the November forecast changes, and most of the deficit issue in the Healthcare Access Fund was the consequence of the GAMC veto. And our forecast of how much coverage was going to shift to the Minnesota Care program. So we can readily break that out for you. And that was roughly two-thirds of the deficit issue. I think the deficit in the Healthcare Access Fund gets to 800 and some million by the end of 2013, and about three quarters of that, I think two thirds to three quarters, came from our forecast of the costs that would have been covered under GAMC shifting to the Healthcare Access Fund.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Well, but I think it would be helpful to see that. Mr. Greenman, I thought, told us it was more in the total cost of the GAMC shift was 238 or 58 million or something over the
in
4 years.
In the current biennium.
In the current biennium.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abler, in the current biennium, at least in November, it was 254 million.
54.
But the cost in the next biennium is substantially higher than that.
All right. And, Mr. Chair, I just think that would be helpful as we
I can
make some choices.
I can break that out and provide it to the Chair.
Yes, if you could do that, Mr. Hoffman, that would be appreciated. And when did or when does the we raise the eligibility for adults without children to what 200% of poverty or
250
and that just started this past January?
I'm not quite sure, July or January.
No.
We don't see more enrollment coming in under that change than we anticipated. Those expansions to higher income levels tend not to bring in a lot more people. I think basically we did raise the enrollment apart from the GAMC issue. We did raise our enrollment forecast in November for the adults without kids, and that was based on the experience to date and most likely effects of the economy on people pursuing Minnesota Care enrollment. So I wouldn't blame the increase in enrollment on the expansion to 250. As we get to higher income level, if you look at a distribution of enrollment in Minnesota Care as you go up the income levels, you get less and less at each income bracket as you go up, because as you go to higher income brackets, there aren't so many uninsured who can potentially get into your program. And we charge a fairly substantial premium. So that both of those things help to keep down the numbers at the higher income levels.
Okay. Well, when you break that out for us, if you would also give us the enrollments and how those are changing.
I can provide the enrollments by income bracket,
right,
so that you can see.
Representative Abler.
How that looks.
Okay. Well, thanks. And I just wanted to float an idea so I can get discussion in the hallways. And just as we go forward to this, it occurs to me, I told you I wasn't that fond of that particular choice. And as we look at just a massive deficit coming in the 2012-13 across the board here, if we were going to try to manage this account to keep it whole, that maybe as we, one of the ideas that we would be something to limit enrollment to future enrollees and retain those who are in. And so you change the eligibility numbers going forward if we're allowed to do that. And that way people wouldn't expect it. If they're in, they're in. And but that way no one finds himself with a pink slip in the mail. So just a thought and something to talk about. I float it now so we can see if it makes any sense. And thank you.
Representative Tyson.
Thank you. You just said Minnesota Care premiums are, I don't know, can't remember exactly what word you used, but expensive. What do you mean?
I said substantial.
Yes, substantial. Thank you.
I'm
relative to what?
For somebody at I can't cite the premium for somebody at 200 of poverty, but I'm pretty sure it's upwards of $100. I think somewhere between 100 and 200 a month for a single person. So that's enough to deter some people from applying for the program.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, so substantial relative to their income as opposed to substantial relative to competitors in the marketplace, like in the private sector? Or that you weren't talking about the latter, you were talking about the
I was thinking about it as as a factor in the choice to apply for our program or not.
Okay.
Representative Slawik gets the last question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Along those lines of what Representative Thiessen was saying, so you said substantial, so it was $100, $200, $100 a month. How many people was it that took advantage of the increased eligibility? Do you have an actual number?
We expected 1,000 or so enrollment at that income level, and I think it was 1,000 something, and that our forecast of that has not been exceeded.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Slawik.
So just to follow up, so you take the 1,000 people and you take Representative Abler's idea where potentially you ratchet back eligibility lower, but you keep those people in the program, that would save costs, obviously, going forward, right?
If you shut the door to the program, that would save.
Not totally shut the door, but reduce the eligibility or the
at a higher income level.
Yeah.
You need to consider that the savings are affected by the fact that they pay a premium, and the premium helps to defer the cost, our cost, for their coverage. So you may get a somewhat different level of savings per person at a higher income level than you do at a lower one.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, so Representative Abler may start conversations in the hallways, but it's complex in terms of how much you actually save and the numbers and so forth.
We can deal with the numbers, Mr. Chairman, Representative Slawik. I don't know if there would be legal issues in grandfathering a group and saying nobody else at this income level gets into the program.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Hoffman. And if you could get those numbers to me, I'll distribute them to the committee. And with that, yes, this is a very important announcement. 9 a.m. tomorrow in room 400 South, we are going to continue our public testimony.
Conclude it,
yes. We hope.
All right.
400 South, 9 a.m. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.